Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you. Thank you for the kids' songs. Wow, that was pretty cool. Lord, we're so thankful that our kids are not only hearing the Word of God, but singing the Word of God, that it's becoming a part of who they are, Lord. And Father, once again, we ask that our children would not be raised in the church, but they would be raised in Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would be raised in your love and in your truth, and that as your church, your people come and gather and are together, Lord, that they would see that it's more than just church. It's more than that. It's more than just meeting together, but it's you. It's you being in them and a part of them and leading them and loving them. And Lord, we pray that our kids would love you back, that they would take great joy in loving you with their lives, Lord. So, Father, we also ask for all these things coming up with the Thanksgiving meal giveaway and the Vesper service on Wednesday night. Lord, we just ask for your blessing this week on your people, both here and in this community, Lord. We pray that we would be able to reach out and love on people around us. So thank you for the subject matter that we've been covering, the security of the saved, Lord. And as we continue to look at our security in our salvation, Lord, we would ask that your truth would be very, very clear. Father, as I'm doing part A of a two-part series today, Lord, I just ask that you would minister through your word and that anything that's of me would be left behind and everything that comes from your Holy Spirit and is your truth, Lord, that it would stick firm to our minds and we would be changed. We would be different because of the truth of your word living itself out in our lives, Lord. So just bless this time now. We ask that we would be ready to receive what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been looking at, if I'm truly saved in Jesus Christ, if I've come to faith in him, can I lose my salvation? Maybe something comes up that's so great, that's so egregious, that's so huge, that maybe there's something that can take me out of the love of Christ, take me out of his family. And we've spent the first 2 weeks really looking at there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And today is where we start asking some new questions. And over the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we're going to be really chewing on some ideas that challenge that. And so as we start today, I wanted to start with this. If it's true that we are saved once and for all, that as we come into faith, that nothing can rip us out of the love and the truth of God, then why do we have certain scriptures in God's word that seem to contradict that? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. And we're going to be looking at today at the difference of being saved on an ongoing process or saved. And so the scriptures that talk about being saved, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now, how can you have scripture that talks about being saved? Because if I'm in the process of being saved, doesn't this go against all the scripture that we've gone over the last couple weeks? Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." So this causes me to ask a question. Is there now those who are saved, like we talked about last week, those who are being saved, is that different than those who just don't know God altogether? So now are there three different groups that we have? Those who don't know God and aren't saved. Those who are saved. And those who could go either way because they're being saved? Or maybe all of us. I mean, what is this saying? What is sanctification, guys? The process, the ongoing process. And one of the things that I want to cover today and look at today is it is so important for us to understand the difference between justification and sanctification. Right now, we are looking at ongoing scripture that's talking about the process of being saved and growing in our salvation. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, notice not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. To continue to work out your salvation. Sanctification is the process of growing in that salvation. Justification is coming to Jesus once and for all. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But sanctification is growing. And now I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 1:18. The first slide here. Oh, it's right there. 1 Corinthians 1:18. And it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And some people will try and take this and say, Paul is saying here that being saved, it is showing that there's a process and that it's not fully clear that sanctification is different from justification here. But notice the important word that's used, but to us. And in 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says, "For we..." Who is Paul including in on that? Himself. So he's not talking about to us as those people over there. He's talking about me and you to us. So he's including himself in on this, on the we and on the us. And so he's talking about sanctification. He's talking about growing. And sanctification means to make holy and to purify, to set apart for holy use. And that is what God is doing through us. And he's continuing that work in us until salvation. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his, to fulfill his good pleasure." 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Guys, God has saved us, justification, but he's not done with us. And I want anybody here, after you came to Christ in justification, has anybody never struggled with sin since? If there's anybody like that here, I want to rub shoulders with you, because maybe some of that will rub off on me. Every day, right? Every day we struggle with it. Every day we struggle with putting Christ first, putting others first. Every day we struggle with dying to self, taking up our cross daily and following him. The sanctification is the growing in that walk, growing in that walk. So the saved scriptures, I want to go to a few new saved scriptures. Ephesians 2, 4 says this, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us," past tense, "alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have," past tense, "been saved." God did it. He made us. You notice how important that is, that he made us. That is not something we did. Justification is not something we accomplish by our efforts. Right standing, justification, legal right standing with God. You see, before you came to Jesus, your sin stood as against you, and it kept you away from the blessings of God, and it caused you to be seen by God as guilty of that sin. And when you came to faith in Jesus Christ, that guilt that you deserve, that I deserve, that all of us deserve, was taken by Christ off of you. It was put on Christ. So our sin was put on Jesus Christ. When Jesus died and was buried, it says that in his death, our sins were put on him. And by faith, his righteousness is now given to us, not by works. So that's quite an exchange, guys. Think about that. I mean, what if you went to the store and wanted to buy something, and as you bought loads of stuff, it's Christmas time, and as you go up to buy, you put the credit card out, and you've got no credit. And all of a sudden, the store says, "You know what? We're gonna take that. That has to be paid. And so, you know what? We're gonna pay for that." You hear every year of people going up and they're putting things on layaway, and they're putting things and trying to figure out ways to pay for things for their kids. And every once in a while, somebody generous will come up behind them and say, "Rather than putting that on, I want to pay for that." And it's the debt has to be paid. The store can't just take it and nobody pays for it. Somebody has to pay for those gifts, for our sins. Somebody had to pay for our sin. Something had to be done. And so in justification, Jesus took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. Not just righteous, but his righteousness. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's clear. It's a gift. Colossians 3:13 says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins." Romans 5:1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that beautiful? We have peace with God through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, through who he is in us. So how do we have this justification and this sanctification? Is this any kind of cop-out? Is this any kind of way to try and explain away different reasoning so that we can think that, oh, we can't lose our salvation? Or is it clear? I want to chew on this a little bit. What's the difference between justification and sanctification? Can we go to the next slide? Justification is our legal standing. Sanctification is our internal condition. Justification is once for all time. Sanctification, it's ongoing. Justification is entirely God's work. Sanctification, we cooperate in the work. We're a part of it. It's God's work and our work. We're working with the Holy Spirit. We're working with God. And sanctification is taking place. In justification, we are perfect in this life. God looks and he sees not our sin. Just think about that. If you are in faith, God looks at you and what does he see? His righteous, right-standing, perfect child of God because of Christ Jesus' work on the cross, death, resurrection. In sanctification, not perfect in this life. I'm growing. I'm becoming more like Christ. Let me ask you this. Who here is the same person they were a year ago? Theologically, I'm different. I've grown. I've been studying things. I've been learning things. My belief system has matured. Hopefully, I'm going in the right direction. My life is different. Some things that I used to not see, some blind spots that I had, I've been made aware of. It's painful. Having those blind spots revealed is humbling. And it hurts, but there's growth, there's change. I'm growing in my walk with Christ. I'm growing, I'm maturing. How are we doing? We're all different, aren't we? My prayer is that you guys are growing here, and not just on Sundays, but that because of what's happening throughout the week in your lives, there is sanctification taking place, an ongoing growth, an ongoing learning. And learning to love God through expressing obedience to him, that would be growing. And the last one, difference between justification and sanctification. In justification, it's the same for all believers. How we get there and what that means, that it's through the work of Christ. It's not through what we bring. It's the same for all believers. In sanctification, it's greater in some. Some of us are growing it. We're all growing at different level speeds. And you know what? God is working, and we are working in that. And as that's happening, as we are willing to say yes to what the Holy Spirit is doing, we are growing more. I want to ask you, if that is true, then let me ask you this question. What is preventing growth in your life? Guys, what is it that's causing you to either take some steps back from the Lord or just stand still? Because one of the things I've noticed is even when I'm standing still, I'm not staying still. When I'm standing still, I'm drifting. And so if I'm not continually learning and walking with God, you know, coming up here, we've got a new opportunity for ongoing ministry. Dave has been leading this up, and one of the things that we're starting up soon here is a ministry that takes cups of soup and coffee and tea. And we're going to be doing it on Wednesday nights. And one of the reasons we want to have it on Wednesday nights is that for some of the guys, we want men and women to be a part of this. But that's also going to be a time where some of the guys who come on Wednesday night for the Bible study can start not only hearing about the word, but they can come early, do the soup thing, and be the word of God to others, and be the living word. And there's one thing that I found when to a new degree when I was in Uganda, I was, as people are serving and doing and living out the word of God, sanctification multiplies. It's not addition, it multiplies. We start growing in leaps and bounds. We start truly experiencing not only knowledge here, but when knowledge here comes out through the heart and the hands, now it becomes a part of who I am. And now I'm living out God's word. And so many of you are already involved in doing this. And as you're serving, the truth of the word becomes clear to a whole new way. What's one of the things that's stopping many of us from growing in Christ? I think it's that we're not serving where God has called us to serve. Another thing that gets in the way of growing is sin, isn't it? And all the junk that comes with that sin. All the condemnation, all the shame, feeling like we can't speak because, boy, my words and my life are different. And our life does affect our testimony, doesn't it? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you're in the midst of sin, do you feel the truth of that scripture or not? When you're struggling with personal hidden sin, when you're struggling with old demons, old junk, that old closet sin, and it starts coming out, piling out of the closet into your life. How's that affecting your walk with Christ and how you minister to other people, how you share the gospel, your sanctification? Guys, it is so important to deal with this area. As I talk about that, I wanted to put it in that period, kind of picture as we move forward here. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we are being built into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood. God says that we are being built and we're a royal priesthood. We're being built and we're a royal priesthood. We're being saved and we're saved. It gets a little confusing. And one of the things I've really appreciated is sharing with Jim. Jim and I meet once a week, and he's been just an incredible mentor for me. And as we've been talking through and looking at this whole idea, one of the things he shared with me that just really, really helped me was this. And look at, we're going to break it up a little bit, but look at Exodus 29:4 and verse 9. Exodus 29:4, it says, "Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Their priesthood is upheld by law and is permanent." So here we've got the priest, the in the line of Aaron, he and his sons, they're coming, and as they're coming, they're being a full body washing. And you can see there the guy's fully in the tub. The full cleansing. It's the full washing is taking place. Okay? It's a ceremonial washing, and it's a one-time thing. This is something that happens once. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new is here." It's gone from death to life. The old is gone, and it's a new creation. In the Old Testament, there was a washing, and this washing was a once and for all. Exodus 30, 17 and 18 says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it whenever they enter the tent of meeting. They shall wash with water so that they will not die.' The priests were required to wash their hands and feet before they did ministry and service. And this was a command to the coming generations. So there's the first washing, the once and for all, the total cleansing. And then for the priesthood, there's the ongoing washing. The first one is a full thing. The second is the partial. Because when we come to Christ in justification, when we are saved, past tense, when we come and we are saved and we follow Jesus, there is a complete change. There is a complete change. One of the things I love about this, the scripture and this idea, is God is continuing what he started. And then as we come in justification, something else is taking place. If I'm justified before God, but I'm still a saint who sins, what happens? Is my relationship with God changed? And am I no longer a believer because of my sin after I've come to faith? No, but something's happened with my sin as a believer. God has not turned his back on me, but I have become unclean before God. Now, I don't have to go back to the full washing every time. Jesus Christ doesn't have to go back up on the cross every time, for at least for my big sins. Well, that was a doozy. I need a whole new work of Jesus on the cross. No, Jesus died once and for all. So the first one is a judicial forgiveness. But I love what Jim shared with me. The second one is a parental forgiveness. I love that saying, a parental forgiveness. Think about that. As a father with his son, when the son sins and the son has turned away and done his own thing, the father's role hasn't changed with the son. He's still the father. The son is in rebellion against the father. And he's out of relationship, not from God to him, but from him to God. He's not receiving the blessings and the benefit from being a son. Guys, the family is a beautiful thing. It was created by God. We all either are, some part of our extended family is broken, or someone we know close to us is in that situation. We know what broken families look like. When Julie and I were missionaries in Uganda, there were 460 children without parents because of AIDS and bad water and malaria and war. There were children without parents everywhere. You'd go into towns and into little areas, little villages, and the oldest person was 12 or 13 years old. And that's the person in charge. Brokenness in families is the result of things not going. The family is God's blessing. Now, sometimes it's the sins of others. Sometimes it's our sin. But we all experience the realities of broken relationships, don't we? We know what broken relationships are all about. And when we sin, our sin is us rebelling against God as a son or daughter and doing our thing. What's required? What needs to happen for me to experience the blessing of having a heavenly father? I need to repent. I need to come back. I need to change and stop rebelling and start following again. Start receiving who I truly am and coming back into that right relationship. And then I need to continue to grow so that I'm choosing to be out of that fellowship less. But I love that idea of parental forgiveness. Parental forgiveness. We have a perfect heavenly father. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows what you've done, what you haven't done. What you have done that you shouldn't have done. What you haven't done that you should. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows it all. And in that, if you've come by faith, you're his child. And in justification, nothing can change that. But the experience of that can change. How I relate to God and how I'm growing and the depth that I'm growing is different for different people. And as I bring a lot of sin into my life, a heavenly father who loves me says, "Son, Matthew, let's slow down and deal with this. We need to talk about this." One of my children, this week, as I was talking with them, I was sharing with them that what they were doing wasn't what was best. And it didn't honor God. It was about listening to music that was not appropriate. Because I listened to one of the songs, and it wasn't just on the edge. It was over the edge, down the hill, and in the gutter. And oh, boy. One of the things I love to do is as the kids are sitting near me, is I'll unplug or I'll listen real quick. And usually when that happens, the sound goes down really quick. Let's turn that baby back up. And then the question came, Does it really matter, Dad? I mean, all my friends listen to this. This is part of music today. This is an expression of I mean, this is, it's artistic, right? It's someone's artistic expression. Does it really matter? You know, what we put, what we fill ourselves with affects who we are and what we do. And it's not just music, right? What we bring into our lives affects our growth in Christ. There are things, God's word says, that are permissible for us to do, but it's not what's best. So there's even things that are okay. They're not officially wrong. They don't go against the law of the land, but they're not what's best. And I think we have to look at that and say, there are some things we need to walk away from. You know, the laws have changed with marijuana here, right? The laws have changed. It's legal above a certain age. One thing I know is the increased drug use of marijuana in the junior high and high school went through the roof the week that it was legalized. Through the roof for children. And all of a sudden, my children started coming home and saying, I'm getting offered drugs a lot the next day because the government says it's good. It's not good. It may be legal above an age, which they are not. There's a little piece missing there, but there's a bigger piece that's missing. What is best? What is best? And as a believer, what I live for is not the laws of the land first. What I live for as a believer is God's truth. And God's truth includes the laws of the land, but it's greater. What did Jesus say? You've heard it said, don't murder. But if you have hatred in your heart towards a brother, guess what? You're a murderer. I'm not a murderer. According to Christ, in your heart, you've hated your brother. You see, God's law is different. In some ways, I mean, the grace is amazing and it's unbelievable. And then in other ways, wow, it's a narrower path. It's a more direct truth. There's a greater purpose to this. It's not about law for law's sake. Some of our laws are wonderful. Some of our laws are terrible. But as citizens, we need to follow the law. God's truth comes in. Guys, sanctification is a tough thing. Growing in our walk with Christ, it is tough. Why? Justification, it's clear. Do you know Jesus? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Yes or no? We'll be getting into how to know that and how to experience that in times ahead of us. But sanctification, it's a little bit more murky on the outside looking in before we fully or get a better grasp of it. I think it's important. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. We are a priesthood of believers, and we need to be cleansed. We are children of God, and we need that one complete bath, but daily we need to come and wash our hands and say, God, am I right with you? Am I right with you? Because I know I'm not because I got this. I need to wash here. You know, we don't need to be like Peter where, give me the whole bath again. No, Jesus said, just your hands. We need that parental cleansing. We need that. I've just touched this area and we've run out of time. There's a lot more in this area of cleansing that we're going to get to. I wanted to touch on it today. And I hope you guys are starting to get not just an agreement that yes, I can't lose my salvation, but my hope and prayer is by the end of our 6-part series, which will probably be 12 to 14 weeks, that we, as we get to the end of that, that as different thoughts come into your head, some from the enemy of God and some from other people who are Christians who are struggling through it, or people who don't know Christ who are wondering about it, that you will have assurance of your faith, that you will not only know where you stand with God, but you'll be able to communicate that well and to not only have peace. Guys, God does not want you to live in fear. And I want to say this, and for anyone who is struggling with this idea of, I still think that you can lose your salvation, Number one is, God loves you, and having that understanding does not separate you from God's love. Believing that you can lose your salvation is not the unpardonable sin. So you're still saved. If we disagree here, we don't disagree on salvation in Christ. But I really want to encourage you, if you're still struggling with, I still feel like I can lose my salvation, be careful with what you feel and what you know. I want us to go, and as we continue on, we're going to be hitting why the scriptures say what they do when there's those big five scriptures which really honestly look like you can lose your salvation and what they're saying. We're getting there. Don't worry. But my prayer is that you don't live in fear in your salvation, because that is the work of the enemy. It is foundational to know that salvation belongs to God and not to me. That it's about Jesus, not Jesus and. Guys, this is where this subject of, and we'll be hitting this a lot more next week, this is the area where, am I saved or am I being saved? This is the area where the Protestant church broke off from the Catholic church. And so we're going to be looking at that next week. But I want you guys to be thinking, is it about what man does, or what is it about what God has done? And where do I stand in that? And my prayer is that by the end of this time, you guys are secure in your salvation, and that the fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, happiness, that truth of God would be so alive in you that you're not trying to say, what can I get away with? But you're saying, what can I give over to the Lord? I got another area of my life that I need to surrender to Christ. I've been holding on to it too long. And I'm tired. Is anybody here tired in any area of your life? Are you tired of carrying that burden? You know which one it's different for us, but it's that burden. Are you tired of carrying that one? Stop carrying it. You cannot. Apart from the work of Christ, it will take your joy and your peace. It will beat you down, joyfully beat you down, through the work of the enemy. The enemies of God are rejoicing when we are beaten down. They don't have much to rejoice about. That's one of the things that brings them pleasure. My prayer is that don't have that, just that weight. Hey guys, I got to be honest with you. We're all in this together. There's weight that I'm holding, that I'm carrying, that I'm speaking to you right now. I've already dealt with some, and God's just bringing some more into my mind and heart right now. We got to do it. We got to give that over. Got to surrender it to Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, there's so much here, and I just keep getting to touch on it, and then we've got to close up shop for the day. Father, I just thank you for this topic. I thank you, Lord, that it's not just a topic. It's foundational to our experience of your blessings, of us experiencing truth, not just feeling something, but truly experiencing what is real. Lord, we desire to live in your truth, not in the error of the enemy. We want to live experiencing your blessing which goes beyond what we can even know. I'm not talking about just something as simple as physical blessing. I'm talking about spiritual, mental, relational blessing, peace of mind, joy of spirit. Father, the things that this world can't take away when we're in your spirit, Lord, your truth. Father, protect us from the father of lies. Protect us from the enemy of God, who is angry at the words that were spoken today. And Father, I once again ask that if there is anything that I share that is not of you, Lord, let it drop out of our hearts and minds. And everything that is your truth from your word, Lord, let it transform our lives. We desire not to live condemned by this world, by the enemy. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we claim the truth that we are not our sin. And Lord, we have sin. That is not who we are. I don't do the things I know I should do, and I do the things I don't want to do. What a wretched man am I. Lord, we echo Paul's words, and yet we know in you there is truth, there is freedom, there is peace, there is joy. That's what we crave. We need it. Father, forgive us for trying to fulfill it with other junk. Not only are you our what seals us, you the Holy Spirit is our seal in Christ that we learned last week. But because you are our seal, you are also the one who leads us into truth. You are the teacher. Father, change us. We humble ourselves and we say we can't. We give up. Even in this area, I give up. I can't change it myself. I can't get it right and bring it to you right, Lord. Forgive me for trying. I give it to you. Make it right. I give it to you. Change this in me. Do the work that I can't do. But I give this to you. I need you to take it. You are God. I am not. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Change our hearts and minds. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this dear family. Lord, we pray for Tuesday evening, your blessing upon it. Lord, we pray for Wednesday evening, the Vesper service, that you would lead us, that it would be a time where we could come and say thank you. Be reminded of all our blessings in you. Father, there's so much happening, and we trust you with it. We lay it at your feet. We ask you to work through us, to use us, that we would be in your ambassadors, and we would go boldly forth because of our assurance of our faith, because of the work that you've done, and not because of what we've achieved. We trust you because you are trustworthy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. In affects what comes out.